mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my...
Chapter 71. Toph held out her hands to feel the fading sunlight, toes scrunching up at the courtyard's chill stone. At least all the rock meant she could feel where the courtyard was, and wasn't. The rest of the world was one big black hole of empty air, nudging and shoving at every little crack in the mountain. And there were lots of cracks. How can air that's so thin push so hard? She'd flown on Appa lots of times, but they'd never gone this high. Breathing didn't feel right. She breathed in and breathed out, but there just didn't seem to be enough air. It made her head hurt. On top of all of that, they were up here, surrounded by gliders and pushy wind, instead of down on a nice, big lump of rock with Zuko. Even relying on what everybody else was telling her rather than her own 2 feet, it was obvious Sparky was in trouble up to his eyebrows. Again. At least they didn't land to help the other guys, Toph muttered, straining her ears to figure out where Boots might have gotten to this time. Haru and even Duke had been all for landing on the Earth Army side, getting Aang to flatten whoever they wanted flattened, and sorting out who was right later. After all, Earth had to be the good guys, right? Toph had to smirk, remembering the yelling that had followed that little remark. The bad words tossed around as Katara and Sokka practically fell over each other to say General Fong was not one of the good guys had almost scared Momo straight off Appa. Aang not saying much either way, though. That wasn't funny. She could feel a little vibration through the wood of Appa's saddle when Aang sat with them. But it wasn't anything like what she read through Earth. All she knew for sure was that Aang did not want to talk about Fong, or what Fong wanted with the Avatar State, or what he'd done to Katara to try to get it. He wasn't stopping Sokka and Katara from bad-mouthing the guy up one side and down the other, but he wasn't agreeing with them either. Which meant... well... she wasn't sure what it meant, but Toph had a bad feeling it might mean he thought Fong had a point. You don't know that, Toph reminded herself, trying to root herself in the mountain when the whole temple felt frayed by wind and gas. All you know is that he said he went spirit walking to talk to Avatar Yangchen to ask her what air nomads used to be like. And man, if she could only have been a spider fly to listen in on that conversation. What had air nomads really been like 1,000 years ago? Like Gyatso? Like Ty Lee? Like somebody else entirely? Given that Aang wasn't talking about it, she was guessing not like Gyatso. I need to find a firebending teacher. That was one of the few things Aang had admitted Yangchen had said. It hadn't made Katara happy. But given how the eclipse had panned out, yeah, they were kind of low on options. So when Sokka had asked Toph if she had any idea where Iroh might be, okay, sure, she did. So why aren't we down there with him? We're not going to find any firebenders up here. Teo had been pretty clear on that. After the temple had told Zuko thanks, but this wasn't their fight, none of the firebenders had come back up the mountain. They were kind of busy. Funny thing was, up until a few days ago, one of Zuko's waterbenders, and oh, the way Katara sputtered when that came up, had still been visiting. To teach the gliders airbending. Katara had made a funny gurk sound when Teo had said that. Sokka had dropped his boomerang. Lucky for him, missing everyone's toes. And Aang? Aang had been very quiet. Normally, Sokka and Katara wouldn't have missed that. But Haru and the Duke had made enough stammering, surprise noises to keep Teo and everyone else distracted. Who could blame them? After 100 years, airbending was loose in the world again. Aang wasn't alone anymore. And of course it was a waterbender who'd helped Teo's people out. Katara was telling everyone in earshot how much water and air had in common. Pacing near the edge of a wall, Toph stuck her tongue out at the abyss of air, toes tugging at the courtyard stone when the wind gusted again. If water and air have that much in common, how come Long Shui's down there fighting instead of up here thinking about it? Aang didn't seem surprised that Long Shui wasn't here, but he wasn't talking. He wasn't talking about much of anything since Yangchen had paid him a visit. And that was just not right. Which was why she was out here getting chilly instead of inside tossing rocks around. Not that she thought tossing rocks around was a good idea up here. That natural gas Sokka had told her about was the kind of thing that made all the hairs on the back of your neck go eep. But she really, really needed to think. Because something was wrong. And it moved like a too-quiet airbender. Like it or hate it, Aang was supposed to be a skinny, bouncy ball of optimism, talking a mile a minute about the way things were going to go right. Yet, ever since Azula had thumped him... Uh-uh, Toph muttered to herself, slowing down as she thought it over. He was still pretty upbeat even after that. It wasn't until we got to the Western Temple that he got all... broody. So, after the invasion, but before Yangchen, maybe. Toph crossed her arms and stomped her feet to warm up. But here he is with more airbenders, and he's still broody. It doesn't make sense. The mechanist got away, so it's not like Aang feels all guilty about Teo's dad. Except, maybe he did, kind of. The airbenders Aang knew didn't have dads. Teo did. That had to be confusing. No wonder Aang had been too stunned to react when Teo and Sima and the others started talking about Long Shui airbending. Wait a minute. You mean showing you the moves? Katara said, in the middle of that first rush of excited glider babble. Yeah, I guess. Teo had scratched the back of his head. Toph could feel the vibration shiver down to his chair wheels. He's working off the scrolls like the rest of us, but he knows how the scrolls break down water forms, and that helps. It was hard to read Teo's feelings, trembling to her from wheels on stone instead of feet. But the other gliders were easy to read, even if they were almost as light on their feet as Hitomi. They shifted the same way she did, when she was telling the truth. Just not all of it. And Aang had... She thought he hadn't reacted, because Twinkle Toes had a pretty easy-to-read surprised flinch that often ended up with him flying into the air with a yelp. And he hadn't. He just kind of leaned back and forward, Toph muttered to herself, matching the movement in her own stance. It felt weird, like taking a blow you couldn't block. Toph sucked in a breath and scowled at how thin it was. That's it. He got hit with something he didn't like, but he knew it was coming. But what? The fact that Teo and a few of the others were airbenders? The hint that Long Shui might bend water and air? Nah, Toph decided. Shidan had said something about Zuko being a Yalren. Whatever that meant. Which meant there might be more, but... Tao told Aang nobody could do it, and he believed the guy. I felt Sparky do it, and I still have trouble believing it. Thumping leather slammed into her shins, driving her back. Boots? What the... Her hand slapped cobblestones as one foot slipped, and Toph blanched. Oh man, the edge was right there. Back up, Toph muttered to herself. Boots, a not-quite-solid pair of pressures holding her away from the edge, as she felt her way back to solid mountain stone. Back up, stay on the rocks, back up. There you are, Chang Chang stomped across the courtyard, breathing just a little fast. I asked your friends where you were, the matronly aunt said briskly. They said you'd be fine, but I've had a few near misses when I've been distracted. G's done his best to remodel, but this place just wasn't built for people who can't fly. Are you all right? Which would have sounded better if the wind hadn't tickled her dry throat, half choking her with a cough. Fine, Toph insisted, dusting off her hands as she got to her feet. No wonder Twinkle Toes can't think about anything for 3 minutes straight. Can't think when you can't breathe. I can look after myself. Chang Chang rocked back on her heels, obviously not convinced. You're having trouble with the air. How often have you been up this high? Try never, Toph grumped. I don't like it up here. Even the earth doesn't feel right. What? Come with me, young lady, Chang Chang directed, holding out a hand. I need to give your young friend a piece of my mind. There's a reason we still have relatives in the lowlands. We call it mountain sickness, Chang Chang said, as matter of fact as Grand Grand diagnosing frostbite. But you can fix it, right? Aang was almost bouncing in place in Chang Chang's sick room doorway, which Katara knew wasn't good. But on the other hand, he was actually moving and worried about somebody here and now instead of how badly the invasion had gone wrong, which was kind of a relief. Hands gloved in healing water, she ignored Sokka leaning against the wall, the creak of wheels on the floor and the rustle as Haru turned pages, and tried to push at the sense of not right in Toph's lungs and blood. It's like shoring up a sandcastle, Katara admitted, frustrated. I can make it better for a while, but I can't stop it. She shook her head. I'm supposed to be a healer. If I just had more training. All that really helps is getting back down to the lowlands. Teo rocked his wheels back and forth, obviously upset. I'm sorry, Toph. We should have remembered. You're a really strong earthbender, but you came up here with Aang, and we all know he flies. So earthbenders can't stay up here. Leafing through Chang Chang's extensive herb healing notes, Haru glanced up, alarmed. Earthbending has nothing to do with it, Chang Chang said firmly. True, most of our earthbenders didn't stay in the temple, but mountain sickness isn't that choosy. Earthbender, glider, not a bender at all. I've seen them all struck down. She drew a breath and scowled. Most people who got ill from thin air didn't stay up here. Even a little bit of dizziness is a risk at these heights. If Toph is this dizzy this fast, you need to take her down before she gets any worse. Hello, sitting right here, Toph grumped, huddled in an extra blanket on the bench. What do you mean, worse? Chang Chang winced. Young lady, give it to her right between the eyes, Sokka cut in. Trust me, she likes it better that way. Toph pumped a fist. You better believe it. Chang Chang and Teo exchanged a look. Teo grimaced. If Auntie thinks it's bad, you need to get down, or in a few days... He hesitated. It'd be bad. Down or things get nasty. Got it. I'm sorry, Aang started, looking sicker than Toph did. You didn't have any problems at the Western Air Temple. There might be a good reason for that. Teo was a little pink. Didn't the scrolls say something about, women's stuff? The nuns' temples were built lower for the safety of women with child, Chang Chang said bluntly. We found that out the hard way up here. If the air's too thin, both mother and child suffer. Katara let water run off her hands into a bowl. Even airbenders? That was scary. Yang Chen said not everybody was born an airbender, Aang admitted. Her jaw dropped. Katara tried to glance away before Aang noticed. Sure, she and Sokka had tossed around the idea that not everybody in the Air Nomads might have been a bender. In any bunch of people, somebody had to be a little less spiritual. But she'd never thought Aang would believe it. She said that, Katara managed. What else did she say? Aang swallowed and looked at the floor. That I couldn't stop the war if I didn't understand why people were fighting. Good luck with that, Tao leaned back in his chair, shaking his head. We know why General Fong's going after Dragon's Wings. What we don't know is how to get him to stop. If he won't believe the Earth King's own seal, well, who else can order him to go home? Sokka frowned, like he was trying to figure out one of his own drawings a month later. How'd Kuei's seal get into the middle of this? Oh, man, Tao sighed, glancing up at the ceiling. Is that a long story? Toph grimaced and rubbed her head. I'll try to keep it short, Tao said hastily. First thing you need to know is don't earthbend, not without asking first. Asagi Tatsu is a barrel of blasting jelly waiting to go off, and Zuko's people can only poke holes so fast. Asagi Tatsu, Sokka muttered, so low Katara almost didn't hear him. Oh man, go figure. How does Prince Cranky find these things? Second, don't go in the water, Tao went on. The fires are keeping the drowned down, and General Iroh's been running memorial services for the ghosts, but... He swallowed. Zuko warned us. If the fires go out, don't go down there. There's just too many drowned. Drowned. Katara felt like she'd been buried in ice. But even if a whole ship went down, there couldn't be enough sailors mad at the ocean to make that many drowned. Oh, spirits. Drowned? Aang frowned. You sound like that's a thing, not something bad that happened to somebody. Chang Chang heaved a sigh. They were something bad that happened, Avatar Aang. The problem is, the spirits don't accept that and rest. Which means when they find other living humans... Don't, Katara blurted. We'll tell him on the way down. I don't want to. But if we have to tell him, not here. Not where there are finally airbenders to be Aang's family. Katara? She shook her head, determined. Later. It's not good. Sokka put in. But if they've got memorial flames burning, yeah, that should work eventually. Toph tilted her head Sokka's way. And how good does it work if Fong stomps them? That'd be the tricky part, Sokka admitted. Aang nodded, determined. We need to stop the fighting. Yeah, Sokka agreed. In the long run. In the short run... I have to do this, Aang insisted. I'm the Avatar. If I can't stop the war here, where the Fire Nation doesn't want to fight, how can I stop it anywhere? Sokka shrugged. You kind of have a point, but... Kind of. Aang, Sokka took a deep breath. Nobody can eat a shitload of sea prunes in one meal. Yeah, we want to stop the fighting, but first... Why don't we see if there's a way we can keep both sides from going after each other long enough to cool down? He stepped forward, resting a friendly hand on Aang's shoulder. You're a good guy, and if anybody can tell them not to fight, you can do it. But first, they have to be able to listen. I was raised to believe that all air nomads were peaceful. By the will of Subode, the air nomad horde leader, who wished to plunder the world. And by the will of Xiangchen, the fanatic who wished to use the war to destroy war. Yes, young kinsman, he was as insane as you think. But unlike Ozai's rage, which turns outward to ravage the world, Xiangchen's rage turned inward. Toward his own people. He would never be a horde leader, and he knew it. And you cannot imagine that fury, that envy, Aang. Hate, anger, rage, all of those injure the soul. But envy destroys it. Xiangchen hated the Horde leaders, and he envied them. So he sought to create a world in which the Horde leaders would be utterly destroyed. In a way, he succeeded. But he would have done so much worse if the Yaoren hadn't found me. Aang breathed in salty wind as Appa took them down, trying not to think about that look of sadness on Yangchen's face. She'd had friends, good friends, friends who had dragged her out of her peaceful mountain hideaway, told her she was the Avatar, and forced her to face a war. Friends who had died in that war, killed by the same volcano they were flying into now. It doesn't look dangerous from up here. If he hadn't flown over the Fire Nation caldera, he wouldn't even be able to guess this was a volcano. It looked like a long half-oval of harbor, opening northwest to the sea, with an island almost in the middle of it, hot air rising from the east side of the cone in a steady, almost invisible shimmer. The first clue it wasn't just a harbor, Aang thought, was what wasn't there. No houses on the island. None, not even any boats. The second was the fires. Fires everywhere. Kind of like the fire fountains back on the islands. Sokka was half out of the saddle, clinging to Appa's back to get into easy speaking range. So that's what you can do with natural gas and some time on your hands. Huh. He glanced east, over Appa's shoulder, and his voice soured. And that's what happens when you take a bunch of angry earthbenders over enemy territory. Great. Aang glanced that way, trying not to wince. You could see the brown and gray ruin where Fong's army had passed, leading over the lower spots on the wrinkle of mountain. Like he'd taken a massive rake and ripped the ground to shreds, wherever his army had walked. Given the Fire Nation traps Teo had told them about, Aang wasn't sure he could blame them. Looks like he's still a few miles from the chip, Sokka observed. Good. If he's got any sense, he's going to stop right there. No way is he going to want troops to walk into traps in the dark. Sokka frowned. Then again, this is Fong. That's not fair, Aang got out, aching inside. He's trying to save the Earth Kingdom. Right, Sokka said wryly. Destroying it so he can save it. Makes perfect sense. Guru Patek says we're all one. Aang rubbed reins between his fingers, glad to hang on to something familiar. How is what Fong's doing any different from what we did? What? You seriously think that... Sokka rubbed his knuckles against his forehead. Someday, I've got to talk to this guy, Aang. Did you hear what Teo said about the people Fong's using to spring traps? We didn't do that to anybody. Everybody who came on the invasion wanted to be there. So how do we know if they didn't? Aang said defensively. Because if Fong was doing that to people who didn't want to help, that was just too awful. And they could always run away, right? You can be really scared and still do what you said you would do. Teo's never talked to those people. How do we know they're not doing what they promised they'd do? Aang looked back out over the caldera, taking in the shaped stone, sunset glinting off of streams, and dark green patches of garden. How do we know Zuko didn't start the fight? Remember the Changs and the Ganjins? Kinda hard to forget guys who scream like little girls just because they're up against great big spider nasty canyon crawlers, Sokka said wryly. Yeah, Aang grinned a little. But those tribes, they'd been fighting so long they didn't even know why anymore. They just thought they did. The Fire Nation's been attacking the Earth Kingdom since before Azulon was born. And who knows how long General Fong's been fighting them, and... He spread his hands, shrugging in the wind. We know, Zuko. even if he's trying to be nice, and okay, maybe he was, he's scary. Point, Sokka admitted. Guy definitely takes after his granddad. The Water Tribe warrior blinked. And when I think about his other granddad, maybe that's not so bad. Huh? That didn't make any sense. Zuko's other granddad would at least be human. Except Zuko's other granddad was Azulon. Maybe Sokka had a point. You've heard what Teo told us, Aang went on, trying not to think about that too hard. How could other people live with parents being so important when they meant you had to admit you were connected to people whose teachings were so wrong? Zuko ran into Fong's people before Teo had a chance to really watch them. Maybe Teo thinks he didn't start it, but Teo doesn't know when people are lying to him. The Mechanist lied to him for years. And how'd he pull that off? Sokka sounded curious. Teo's an airbender. Don't you all know when people lie? Well, I do, Aang grumbled. Just like Toph does, and Master Gyatso, and all the elders. You mean it's more of a masterbender thing? I guess. Aang scowled at the earth bowl below, taking in the ring of marsh patches spreading around the outside rim of the caldera wall. Maybe some of that was natural, but he'd seen newly flooded lands before. Zuko's people might not be hurting the earth as much as Fong was, but they were changing things. Who gave them the right? That's why we've got to talk to them first. I need to hear what Zuko thinks he's doing. Aang? Sokka gave him a level look, only slightly thrown off by blinking away a passing dragonfly. Don't take this the wrong way, buddy, but right now, you're lying. To yourself. Aang rocked back against Fur. I don't! If you really thought both sides were just as wrong, we'd be heading to talk to the Earth Army first. They are wrong! Aang shot back. If Zuko's really not working for the Fire Lord anymore, there shouldn't be a fight. You didn't want to fight Fong, Sokka pointed out. And I didn't, Aang insisted. When he sank Katara into the ground, he swallowed hard. That wasn't me anymore. You know that. Yeah, I know, Sokka sighed. Avatar spirit, not you. Aang blinked away dust, relieved. Right. Thing is, Sokka cut across his words, Zuko doesn't have an avatar spirit to save his butt, or his friends' butts. Blue eyes were hard and a little scary. We need to think about that when we look at what he's doing, and why. So why does he get into messes where he needs an avatar? Aang grumbled. We know he didn't start this fight. I know that, Sokka. Just listen, Aang insisted. We don't know if Zuko started a fight with General Fong, but he brought Fire Nation people up here on Earth Kingdom land, and he put them right under an air temple. He's the Fire Lord's son. He knows about war, right? He has to know he was going to start a fight with somebody. So why did he do it? Let's ask him. Right, like it was going to be that easy. They landed near the docks, and that made Aang tense up all over again, because one of those docks looked like it came straight from Ba Sing Se, and another looked like the ones near Xu Jing, and the one in the middle didn't look like either of them. Any one of them would have been okay. All three of them together was just wrong. The familiar, battered Fire Navy ship hanging out in the deeper water was just the frosting on the air-whipped cake. They touched down, and Toph was off onto solid ground before he could jump from Appa's head. Whoa! She scrunched her toes in the odd, dark dirt. Teo's right, guys. We don't want to grab hunks of this unless we have to. It kind of fizzles. Like dropping water in Katara's cook pot. You want to do the cooking next time? Katara teased, getting down with a pat to Appa's side. That's weird. Where is everybody? Usually Appa gets a crowd. Sokka filled Haru in. The Duke had decided to stay up with the gliders, which the little tree dweller declared as awesome. People usually go, ooh, and ah, and are you really the Avatar? In case you missed the flyers, Sokka, everybody here knows that already. Huojin? Aang blinked at the unhappy Ba Sing Se guardsman, peering past him to catch glimpses of other people hanging back around corners and behind buildings. What are you doing here? And why is everybody acting scared? Huojin's brows went up. You have to ask? First of all, there was no chance on earth I was going to raise my daughters in grabbing distance of Azula. Second of all, how the hell did you miss the army coming to kill us? We don't care what General Fong wants to do. He's not going to kill anybody, Aang said firmly. And you're not answering me. Why are people acting like they're scared of us? Fong's not our friend. Neither was Azula, Huojin said dryly. Aang gaped, open-mouthed. That was... There were no words to describe how wrong that was. Sokka hadn't meant to let Azula in. Huojin wasn't even looking at him, head craned back to look at the mountains that hid the northern temple from view. The mechanist people warned you not to earthbend down here, right? Asagitatsu's touchy. Something caught his eye, and the guard straightened, relieved. And here comes the general. Good. Aang had to take a second look. That was Iroh heading their way, with Amaya and a few others in green and red behind him. But the old firebender had lost a lot of weight. What's going on here? About to speak, Iroh paused and stroked his beard instead.
A valid question, Avatar Aang. But first, you and your friends may wish to return to the Air Temple quickly. General Fong will soon be knocking at our door, and he does not intend a friendly visit.
How do you know that? Aang insisted. Army? Toph grumbled. Kinda hard to miss. You heard what Teo said about the people Fong's throwing into traps.
But we don't know he's throwing them in. Aang didn't look away from Iroh. They could have promised to do that.
You may ask the survivors for yourself, Iroh said dryly. I assure you, they made no promises to be Fong's boulder fodder.
Easy for you to say, Katara shot back. You're the one setting the traps.
Katara, just wait, okay?
Aang kept staring at Iroh.
If they didn't want to be there, why didn't they just run away?
Amaya gave him a look, up and down, and raised a brow.
And what makes you think they didn't try?
They were still there?
The healer shook her head.
You've never tried to run from an earthbender, have you?
That some of them are with us should tell you that they did run, Iroh stated. We have left Fong word of who we are and why we are here. We have given him copies of our treaty with Earth King Kuei. He has had many chances to withdraw bloodlessly, and we have told him if he retreats, we will not pursue him. But if he breaches our walls, we will destroy him. We have no choice.
Aang felt his face flush red.
There's always a choice.
If we leave Asagitatsu, she will erupt.
Iroh's voice was iron.
If she does, it will destroy countless lives. More, perhaps, than the Fire Nation has ever slain in all these years of war. The Face Stealer wishes this to happen, to slay entire peoples, and we cannot allow it. We must stand against evil. We must try to mend what the war has marred. That is why Dragon's Wings is here. That is why we will stand against General Fong no matter the cost.
He drew a deep breath.
We have asked him to leave, Aang. What would you do?
Aang was not going to roll his eyes.
You could try talking?
Yeah, Sokka said wryly.
Because that worked so well for us.
It is a valid idea, Sokka. Unfortunately, it has not worked.
Iroh sighed.
General Fong has ignored every request for parley we have made. When we have been able to observe his army, he has quite publicly ripped the messages to shreds.
Iroh raised a bushy brow.
Do you have any other suggestions?
If messages don't work, why not send a person? Aang argued. People are a lot harder to ignore.
And yet I know someone who manages, Sokka muttered.
Iroh was giving Aang a look that reminded him oddly of when Gyatso had caught him up an apple tree when he was supposed to be cleaning between Appa's toes.
Young man, the rules of parley were created for a reason. What one does to the message is a mark of what one intends to do to the messenger. We know Fong's reputation well enough that Zuko will not risk any of our people in his hands. I know those who have sent messengers to Fong. When you have found the body of a man buried while still alive...
He cut himself off, looking away.
And those were the ones we found and gave honorable fires to. Shall I tell you of the others?
Iroh. Amaya rested a comforting hand on his shoulder. It's in the past. Leave it there. We won't let it happen again. She cast a glance at Aang, and I think he gets the point.
If he doesn't, I can tell him, Huojin spoke up.
I've gone drinking with a lot of the veterans off the wall, and some of them used to fight in armies outside Ba Sing Se. The stories they told about Fong, if I even started most of them, Luli would kick me out of bed for a week for giving the girls nightmares. And I deserve it.
Aang tried not to swallow too obviously. Sokka did have nightmares about what had happened to Katara, but Fong had only been doing that because he wanted the war stopped, no matter what it took, right?
But if you know Fong, you knew he'd protect the Earth Kingdom. I wouldn't have come up here in the first place.
But we are here, Iroh said, and we must remain here. As we have told Teo and his kin, Asagi Tatsu is a water volcano. She must have a firebending line to calm her.
But you can't be here, Aang insisted. This is the Earth Kingdom.
By the word of the Earth King, it is not, Iroh declared. And in the past, it was not. This land first belonged to the dragon clan of Ryuko-hime, who dwelled here. And only after that did part of it fall under the use of the air nomads. Asagi Tatsu herself has bid us try to calm her, to hold off disaster.
Iroh gave him a level look.
I have always tried to respect the spirits.
But if you stay, Fong's going to keep attacking you, Aang pointed out. You don't have to stay. I'll talk to Asagi Tatsu.
As much as I appreciate the offer, Asagi Tatsu is not angry, nor confused, nor truly desirous of harming humans.
Iroh cut him off.
Asagi Tatsu is a volcano. She must erupt. She has already been waiting a century too long.
He grinned at Aang.
How long can you hold back a sneeze?
Well... But Roku fought volcanoes to keep them from erupting, Aang protested.
I saw it!
You saw Roku fight other volcanoes? Katara gave him a worried look, fingers gripping her water skin. You only told us about the one on Roku's island.
Well, yeah, that's the only one I saw, Aang admitted.
But he was showing me the important stuff in his life. If that's what he did, then that's what an avatar is supposed to do, right?
For a long moment, Iroh was silent.
Took a deep breath. And heaved a weary sigh.
Avatar Aang, if you ever intend to learn firebending, you should know this. Fire is the life of the world, and every volcano is a beating heart. Would you stop Asagi Tatsu's heart?
Aang froze. That was... Was he saying that stopping the volcano would kill a spirit? But Roku had...
Roku didn't stop the volcano, Aang reluctantly recalled. He just slowed it down a little.
So what should he do?
Toph cleared her throat. You're stalling, Uncle. She cracked her knuckles. Where's Sparky? Sunset. Zuko could feel the flames burning lower inside, a chill echoed by the damp breeze seeping up from the rock passage below. Firebenders could fight at night, just as waterbenders could by day, but none of them wanted to, which the man heading this way was undoubtedly counting on.
I used to do most of my work at night,
Shirong mused, looking up at the war balloon tethered to give the chip a good lookout, then out to the deepening shadows and the rocky pass below them.
I'm not looking forward to this.
For more reasons than one, Zuko knew.
You're a Yauren. You're responsible to the spirits, not just me. You don't have to do this.
Prince Zuko, Agent Shirong said formally, you have signed a treaty with Earth King Kuei. That is binding. As a Dai Li, it is part of my duty to uphold the law, to foster virtuous acts, and maintain peaceful and honorable alliances with the spirits. By attacking Dragon's Wings, General Fong is acting against the expressed will of the Earth King. Even as a Yauren, especially as a Yauren, it is my duty to stop him.
Zuko inclined his head, accepting the rebuke.
Sometimes duty hurts. He glanced towards Saluan and Longshui. If you're going to fight, stay up here. The waterbender bristled, white lock of hair almost red in the gloom. I'm old enough. I was fighting pirates at your age. I know. Zuko held his gaze. When it comes to blades, you're better than half the reserves backing the chip. But you'll do the most good up here, where you can move the fire ice where we need it. He paused, deliberately. And where you'll have the wind. If everything goes wrong, we might need that.
I guess, Longshui admitted, not quite nestling into Saluan's comforting hand on his shoulder.
Smirked a little and glanced past Zuko to Lieutenant Teruko. At least I'm not the only one with a babysitter.
Saluan whistled, not at all innocent.
Zuko tried not to redden.
Lieutenant, I told you.
Yes, sir, you did. Teruko didn't budge. Lieutenant Sado and Sergeant Kyo have things well in hand, sir. Even so, I would like to be with them. But you take after both of your grandfathers. I gather you didn't get too many stories about Shidan growing up, but I know you've read the military histories of Fire Lord Azulan. You said you'd stay off the battlefield, and I know you meant it. None of which changes the fact that when your people are dying, your first reaction is going to be, kill the bastards, and you'll do your damnedest to carry it out. Personally.
She was probably right. Damn it!
We don't even know if Fong's coming, Shirong pointed out. The bison's not hard to miss. He has to know Avatar Aang is in our territory. And not attacking us. He may think twice.
Fire flares overhead. Three controlled, small bursts from the war balloon. Enemy in sight. Zuko took a deep breath and blew out steam.
I hate being right.
Here we go.